Welcome to the homily studio for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. That's Sunday the 13th of October. I'm John O'Connor. I'm usually the host of the homily studio, but today's a little bit different because this Sunday, the 13th of October, is also celebrated in New Zealand as Support Life Sunday. And so I've asked John Kleinsman, who is the director of the New Zealand Catholic Bishops Conference Centre, the Nathaniel Centre for Bioethics, to lead this session. So with a couple of others, they will lead the session. Now, during the session, I just want to say in preparation, they're going to mention a few key documents. Don't worry too much about jotting down the names of them during the session, because they will be listed at the bottom of the page. And I just want to say they're well worth reading. The three documents that you'll hear are the Declaration from the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, Dignitatis Infinita, and the Encyclical Letter of John Paul from 1995, Evangelii Vitae, the Gospel of Life. But even more so, if you're only going to read one of the letters that they suggest, the New Zealand bishops last year, 2023, published the letter Te Kahu o Te Ora, A Consistent Ethic of Life. And that really is worth reading. It summarizes many of the points made in the other two documents. So I'm going to hand over now to John and to Sian and to Laurel.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome to Homily Studio for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, which in the New Zealand calendar also happens to be Support Life Sunday. My name is John Kleinsman, and I am the director of the Nathaniel Centre for Bioethics, and have a particular interest in the Sunday because, as the agency, bioethics agency for the New Zealand Catholic Bishops, we are asked to prepare the resources for Support Life Sunday each year. With me, I have two fellow presenters, Laurel Lanner and Sister Sian Owen. I'm going to ask each of those to introduce themselves now.
I'm Laurel, and I work for the National Centre for Religious Studies, and I mainly work in secondary education, and I've done quite a lot of Bible stuff in the past. And now. In fact, I'll spend most of the year on it.
Great to have you join us. Thank you. Sian.
Kia ora. My name is Sian. I'm a sister of St. Joseph that serves in the Catholic Diocese of Auckland and is leader of pastoral services.
Kia ora, Sian, and great to have you with us as well. As is our custom, we'll just take a moment to start with a prayer. And the prayer I'm going to use is a prayer that was developed for Support Life Sunday 2024, the theme of which is infinite dignity. The prayer for this year's Support Life Sunday is based on the theme of infinite dignity. And that theme, which has been chosen by the bishops, comes from a document that was produced by the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, and it is called Dignitas Infinita, or Infinite Dignity. And this particular prayer, which will have been shared as a resource of all parishes, has been inspired and drawn from Evangelium Vitae, which is that great encyclical put out by Pope John, St. John Paul in 1995, and Dignitas Infinita. So let us now pray. Lord, you call us, your pilgrim people, to be people of life and for life, to journey in confidence towards a new heaven and a new earth that is characterized by a commitment to the infinite dignity of every person. Lord, look down upon the vast numbers of those whose human dignity is daily being violated by war, poverty, exploitation, physical and emotional violence, premature death, abuse, prejudice, and neglect. Grant that we who believe in you may proclaim the gospel of life in what we think, say, and do. Obtain for us the grace to accept the gospel as a gift ever new, the joy of celebrating it with gratitude, and the courage to be a witness to it resolutely, so as to build, together with all people of goodwill, a world of justice, mercy, truth, compassion, and love. To the praise and glory of God, the Creator and Lover of all life. Amen.
Amen.
So, a world of justice, mercy, truth, compassion, and love. And if you have looked at or read the document Dignitas Infinita, you'll know that it is basically written in two parts, the second part being a list of what the Dicastery refers to as grave violations of human dignity, which includes some of those issues that we mentioned in the prayer. I'm wondering whether one of you would like to jump in now and just share what reflection you might have about the readings and how they fit in with the theme of Support Life Sunday, Infinite Dignity. These readings, I should add, have not been chosen specially for this Support Life Sunday. They are, in fact, the readings of the day.
Well, I had trouble to start with. I flipped around all over the place, and I started looking, first of all, at the gospel. And then thought, I can't really see how that fits with Support Life Sunday. And then went back to the wisdom ones. And I started to sort of settle on where I thought there were connections. I sort of think with the gospel reading, Jesus is pushing the rich man beyond his comfort zone. You know, he's trying to get him to take a step further. And it made me think a little bit about some of the teachings and the is it Dignitas Infinita? Yeah, and similar other you know, the consistent ethic of life. And I know that there are quite a few people within the church. It's not just outside the church that people have trouble with some of these teachings. It's within the church as well, and especially sometimes around euthanasia, but also around the church's teachings on bioethics and IVF. Some people within the church find those very difficult. And I like the idea of us just being pushed a little bit beyond our comfort zone, so that while we might want to instantly reject something as being silly or unfair or unloving, that we sort of are able to take some time to think about it and to pray and to mull it over and really think about the reasons why these teachings are there. Because I think it's very easy today when a lot of people don't agree with the church's teachings in a lot of these areas, to just sort of dismiss it. And young people in secondary schools are particularly likely to do that. They'll just sort of say it's ridiculous and silly and I'm not doing it, and they don't really want to take it any further. But when you actually sit down and start to talk about why these, you know, where the teachings come from, why they're there, they begin to open up a little bit. And I hope that we as adults can also do that.
Taking us out of our comfort zone. Jesus was certainly pushing the rich man out of his comfort zone. One of the thoughts I had as I looked at the gospel, Laurel, was that the commandments that are listed are all negative. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honour your father and your mother is the only exception to that rather long list. And I think sometimes as Christians, as Catholic Christians, as people who are religious, we are accused of being against stuff. The man in the story, the rich man, was obviously a good man, a really, really good man who had sought all his life to obey these precepts. And my thought was that the particular commandments mentioned all concern respect owed to others. So in that sense, there is a tie in with today's theme. And the man certainly shows himself to be a man of principle, but a full human life is not a matter simply of not doing things or avoiding certain behaviours as spelled out by the particular commandments. And I think Jesus, looking into this man's in myself, and he looks on him and he loves him and sees that he's a good man, recognizes that his actions, good as they are, they fall short. And for me, I think what Jesus is pushing him to do is to say, well, we stand for something. It's not just that we want to avoid certain behaviors. And above all, I think he's pointing to the fact that this man lacks a commitment to meet the poor at their point of need. And if I might just reflect on the name change that happened with Support Life Sunday a few years ago, it was previously known as Respect Life Sunday, which is a much more passive concept, the idea of respecting something. Support Life intimates that we need to be people out there who are actually changing the world and doing something. It's a call to positive action, not simply to avoid. And that was my reflection on the gospel. Sean.
As we're recording this, as a sister of St. Joseph, we're walking with one of our sisters who is on the final journey towards being embraced by the love of God. And sitting by her bedside and reading these readings deeply affected me, particularly the reading from Wisdom, that beautiful proclamation about the importance of a knowledge that is not about academia, but is about the heart. And it was illustrated by two encounters at the bedside. The first was the doctor who is caring for our sister, who came in and spoke to our sister. She's in a coma, but knew her name, could tell her what was going on, tell her she was surrounded by love, really continued to honor the spirit and the heart of this woman who is dying. And then sometime later, nurses came in to care for her, and they did a great job. They turned her, they washed her. But all the time they were talking about their social life with each other. They were doing a job and they did it well. No one could critique it. But there was missing that element of recognizing the humanness of their patient. And sometimes I think we can justly be accused as a church, as a society, of being about doing what is right, just as the rich man did, without taking the soul to it and the recognition of the dignity of the person we're dealing with. And so judgment becomes very easy. And in some ways, I think Support Life Sunday is calling us to move beyond the easy stuff. Being against abortion, against euthanasia. And the readings are calling us to be against poverty, against injustice, against not making a stand where it matters.
All of which links up with the point Laurel made before about pushing us out of our comfort zones into areas that we're not necessarily going to feel comfortable in. I'm reminded of the document that the bishops put out last year, which was also around this time, and it was the theme that we took for Support Life Sunday 2023, which is about this idea of everything being connected, Te Kahu o te ora, the consistent ethical life. And yes, I like the point you're making there, Laura. I think that it is about recognizing that the wisdom of the heart, which is referred to in that first reading, is for me a recognition of that dignity which we all share, whether we are the unborn child or whether we are that very elderly sister that Sean has talked about, whether we are the person who's living in a violent relationship, that what connects us all is this theme of an inviolable dignity, human dignity that can never ever be lost, which is the key message of this document.
I think too that what holds us together with our shared human dignity is our shared ability to dance with joy. Sometimes, just as the scripture seems to work on the negative, I think that we can sit in a space where it's all about what has to happen, what has to change. And the psalm is about us singing for joy. What can we sing for joy on this sacred day of the resurrection on Sunday about supporting life? What are the signs of joy and hope? Whether it be a new birth, a longed-for child, or even somebody dying with grace, or the fact that the food bank is less being used because people are coping better, or even the fact that the food bank is full because of the generosity of people. So, what is there that we can be joyful around, not just concentrating on what is lacking?
Yeah, that's true.
But without neglecting what is lacking either. And
Yeah.
again, one of the strong messages that comes out of the declaration, Dignitas Infinita, is this idea that to be committed to the infinite dignity of people is, in fact, also, and at the same time, to be committed to social justice. So our faith can't just be something that is a personal expression at a sort of spiritual level. That is
Yeah.
part of it, but it can't just stop with that either. I hadn't read that wisdom reading for a while, and having heard it many times over the years, I was surprised as I read it and reflected on it this time about the list of things it gives us. Now, this is a piece of writing inspiration that is thousands and thousands of years old, and it struck me that the lists of things that are there are the same as what we have today. And there's a question in all this for me too about, and it links, I think, all the readings, what is it that really brings us happiness? What is it that brings us fulfillment and flourishing? And if you just break down that first reading, there's power and control, the scepter and the throne, images for power and control. There is the riches, it mentions gems, gold, silver. It talks about good health. Yeah, some of us have good health. Not everybody does. It talks about comeliness, which I take to be, you know, looking people who are beautiful, people who have really, really good looks. It talks about being smart and clever. It talks about being youthful and thinking that we will live forever. That's heading into the psalm. And the first reading is telling us that what does not bring lasting happiness and flourishing is all of these things. And I thought a bit more about that and thought, yeah, they are arbitrarily handed out. I sometimes look at people and think, oh, gee, I wish I had your sporting prowess. I wish I had the money that you had. I wish I was as smart as you were. Some people have lots of power and influence. Not everybody does. Some people have lots of money. Not everyone does. Some people have great health. Not everybody does. Because some people live with tremendous disabilities that are lifelong and bring immense challenges, and that's the only life they have. Some people have extraordinarily good looks, some people are extremely clever, and these are all things that our society values. And I think in all of these is an element of luck, that they are ultimately beyond our control, really, whether they are subject to the genetic roulette or the luck of where we were born or the luck of when we were born, who our parents were. They're all very, very arbitrary. And we may not possess power or riches or health or good looks, but the one thing we can and do all possess without favour, without luck, without being attributable to any of our abilities or our strength or our intelligence is our human dignity, which is infinite. And I think that helps me to understand at least what is meant by the spirit of wisdom. There is a wisdom in our society which says, oh, you'll be happy if you have lots of money or lots of strength, or if you're good looking. No, we've been reminded again today that there is something far deeper, which relates to this awareness of God's immense love for each other, and the fact that his love for each of us equally means we all have this infinite dignity. And that for me is what the readings are saying about happiness, fulfillment, and flourishing.
I sometimes get a bit irritated when the Bible says things and then it doesn't sort of go into details about how you go about increasing them or getting them. So I was sort of looking at the wisdom, and I was thinking about the young people, particularly. And I may have mentioned this incident before, but I had one young man come flying into my room, my classroom once, and he was about 16, and he had just discovered that the church thought that abortion was wrong, and he was so indignant and he was so angry. And my initial reaction was, how did he get to be 16 in a Catholic school and not know this? And then my other reaction was, well, how can I help him see that there's some beauty in this? So one of the things I thought about in terms of wisdom, and I came back to that, famous line, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and people often interpret fear as being something scary, but it's really that sense of awe of God. And I just sort of thought, maybe a takeaway, and this is a bit early for your takeaway, John, but maybe a takeaway for this is to spend time with young people, developing that sense of awe and joy, which is what's behind, the joy of life and the dignity of life ultimately. To spend time with wee children, looking at, the symmetry of seeds or the flowers, and all those sort of natural, amazing things. And I sometimes think that we don't, especially at this time of school holidays, I've been thinking a lot about how much money people have been spending on taking them to the movies and doing all these activities. And actually, a lot of grandparents and parents could be just spending some time just being outside and being part of this creation. That is the purpose of it all. And it's part of being the dignity and being interconnected with everything. I think, yeah, don't know if I've expressed that very well, but you sort of get what I mean.
Nice thought. Thank you. Thank you. Which brings us to that point in our homily share this week where I'm going to ask each of you to just share the one thought. If you were the homilist for the week, what's one takeaway, one thought, one action that you would like your listeners to take away from the minutes from these readings? Sean, I might ask you to go first.
In the letter to the Hebrews, it talks about how God's word is so penetrating that it gets into every nook and cranny. It gets into our joints and our marrows, our soul and our spirit. And I guess my hope is that having gathered around the table of the word and Eucharist, that we go out mindful that our words penetrate, our words of love and affirmation, supporting life, penetrate all parts of the world, perhaps in ways we don't know. And just as our proclamation of the importance of life weaves in and out of everything, so too can our words of harm. So let's be positive life messengers in this week of Respect Life in particular.
Thank you, Sean. Laurel, have you got anything to add to your takeaway?
I think sort of going back to what I said at the beginning really is, if you do have trouble with some of the teachings, just relax about it, but spend some time thinking and talking to others and reading, and yeah, just look to where these teachings come from and what's behind it, and what's the basic idea about this. And yeah, don't get worried, but explore and be and think positively about it. Be open to it.
And go out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
My thought was that respect for the infinite dignity of people requires of us that we actively engage with the people who are on the margins. That list of attributes, riches, strength, it's not typically about the people who are on the margins. It's about the powerful and the well-off. So infinite dignity, respect. Supporting life, respect for dignity involves us going out, I think, and engaging on the margins. And Some weeks ago, I came across a quote from Thomas Harlech, who is a Czechoslovakian-based priest and professor. And he said, sometimes it's the people on the margins or on the edges who see further across the boundaries. And I've carried that thought with me for the last few weeks, and I keep on coming back to it. And we must not allow the rules and the structures, no matter how important they are, I think, to shield us from those who are on the edges, for those who are on the margins, as in some ways was the case with the rich man that Jesus was challenging. So in so many ways, he was a good man, but it's not enough to be good. Let's engage, actively engage with those who are on the margins as we think about and reflect on the infinite dignity of every person, the dignity of all creation indeed, and as we celebrate Support Life Sunday. As we usually do, we finish with a prayer, and Sian, I'm going to invite you to close our homily studio this week with the prayer that you have prepared.
All-embracing love, God with us. May we be sensitive and attentive to your action in our lives and world. Confident in your love and free to respond joyfully and generously as one with your dream that all life may be supported, that we all may be one with you. We make this prayer through Christ, our reconciliation and peace, and the Spirit who draws us into communion. Amen.
And thank you to John and to Laurel and to Sian. As I mentioned earlier, the resources are listed on the page, and I add another one as well, the Nathaniel Centre website, for which John is the director. And I noticed that I looked at that website earlier today, that all of the past editions of the Nathaniel Centre magazine on all kinds of issues of life and supporting life and all of its forms, those magazines back copies are all there as a great resource. You may be a first-time listener to Food for Faith Homily Studio, and if you are and are interested in more, we send this out every week to those who subscribe, a conversation between three or four people reflecting on the scriptures of the upcoming Sunday. So you can sign up to receive these podcasts by email at the link on the page.